radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 9. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I've entitled the message, A Clash of Kingdoms. Clash of Kingdoms. This being the Independence Day weekend, we have this opportunity to look at things from a national perspective. And I personally have so much in the reservoir of my mind from the years of trafficking in the scriptures about what it means actually to be a nation and how God views the nations. And boy, there was so many places we could have gone today, but we landed here because there's a verse that I wanted to punctuate, because it's pertinent in our day. We have a lot of things going on in our world that are a little baffling for us. And that verse is verse 17. If you look at Psalm 9 and verse 17, it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Wow. Things are not what they seem. It's kind of interesting. I say that like 35 years later from when I first heard it. And I heard those words in a rock album called Animals by Pink Floyd. Things are not what they seem. Okay, and they aren't. And even the rocksters know that back in the days of acid rock. I heard about a man who was pulled over for speeding, and when the officer went up to the window and received his registration and license and so forth, he looks on his seat and he sees a bunch of machetes, just a whole bunch of them. And he's looking at this, and of course he's keeping an eye on those, and finally he couldn't take it anymore. He says, "What's with the machetes on your seat there?" He says, "Well, I'm a juggler. I juggle those." He says, "No way." He says, "Yeah, I juggle those." So he says, "Well, could you show me, you know?" So he has the guy get out. He gets all these machetes. He begins to 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, this way, behind the back, all kinds of really cool stuff. And this officer's like astounded. But this car goes by. And the guy looks and he does a double take. And he says, "Man, I'm going to have to quit drinking. Look at the tests they're giving to people to see if they're sober or not anymore." You know, so I share that with you because it's contextually relevant in one sense, because there are going to be a lot of drunk drivers out there. Be careful, because it is a crazy day in which we live. People have thrown caution to the wind. But I also tell you this because I think for you and me, we need to remember that God's standard never changes. Just like those sobriety tests, they give them, you know, they want to make sure, walk the line, touch your nose, all that kind of thing. Well, God's got a word from heaven. And it didn't change just because man got together and said, "Let's make things different than they once were." Marriage is still between a man and a woman. It is also very holy. It is the first institution of Almighty God. It needs to be hallowed, championed, and it needs to be sustained at all costs. We need to hang in there, even when it's hard, because that is what life is for down here. We become emblems of His grace and of His plan and of His directives. Now, when I bring you to Psalm 9, what I want you to recognize is it is called a special kind of a psalm. And in fact, this title is the only place where this word appears. Psalm 9 says, "To the chief musician upon Muthleben, a psalm of David." The word Muthleben is only here in all of Scripture. The word is a compound word that literally means to die for the son. To die for the son. Now, we don't know why David used that as his title. It's not an instrument. It says upon it, so it must be upon the subject of to die for the son. And what I can only conclude as I try to use a sanctified imagination from my study of the scriptures is that David feels like he's that son. And that he is the one who is blessed beyond all things. Because it is a praising psalm. Aren't you glad Jesus died for you? Is it ever a time where you just get lit up to think, you know, I don't have to face the words of Psalm 9, verse 17, that the wicked shall be turned into hell. I don't have to worry. I've got Jesus. Isn't that good to know? I tell you, folks, we have it made. We really do. Godliness has promise of this life and that which is to come. And so for you and for me at this Independence Day week, we have a lot to celebrate. And frankly, I believe many of us might be getting with people who are our family members who do not do church or love the Lord. And I think it's incumbent upon us to pray ourselves full of the Lord Jesus and His Spirit so that when we're in the midst of those circumstances, we can be looking for the mercy of God. Hence, we gave you that handout here a little bit ago, the poem about talking about people who maybe you've seen in your day-to-day, but you've never shared with in a more deliberate way. So please, keep your eyes open this week. It very well could be that you have opportunity to share the Lord as you see God working in people's lives. Pray yourself full of the Lord, be filled with the Spirit, and then maybe, just maybe, you might have opportunity to discharge that. David had no qualms about bragging on Jesus. You want to know what's interesting about David is that David bragged on Jesus mostly after he'd been wounded almost beyond recognition by messing up with Bathsheba and Uriah. After he had fallen prey to the spirit of the age, after he had gotten himself in a cloud of thick darkness, he said, "My vitality dried up." He said, "There was nothing for me, but God had put away his sin." And that meant something to him. And I believe it ought to mean something to you and me. We ought to be much about Jesus. Rain on what the world thinks. Rain on it, man. Now, I'm not saying go out there and be goofy about it. I'm saying go out there and be godly about it. Love on Jesus. Get your eyes in your head for Jesus. And as we do so, we will be palatable to our world. Certainly, we are going to be a savor of life unto life and a savor of death unto death. But we need to be adorning the gospel of Christ. We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. David made much of the Lord God because the Lord God made much of him. Do you know God so loved you, you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And if you've believed in him, you don't just have life, you have life everlasting. And I think that's something worth shouting over and getting excited about. And so did David. He said, "I will praise thee, O Lord," verse 1, "with my whole heart. I will shew forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high." Now, you know that there are going to be people on the road who are going to be a little inebriated. They think that the holidays, which used to be understood to be a holy day, something to set aside and reflect in the right way, they think the holiday is a day to get stoned or drunk. I understand that they're actually promoting trips to Las Vegas with marijuana now. You come out there, you can get stoned and then throw the dice and lose your money. But you're going to be happy about it. You know what I'm saying? They're going to give you some weed, okay? Kind of crazy days, right? This is not a holy day when you do stuff like that. See, we've taken everything and we've made it common and we've made it unclean. And what we have to do is we have to kind of remember our moorings, because if they can get lit up through a joint or through a drink, we can get lit up through the Lord Jesus. And I think that's important for you and me. We need to be the kind of people who have a smile, not a scowl. We need to not look down our noses at the world. We need to look out sometimes to find out, where's it going on? Where can I enter in? And David just wanted to brag on the Lord. He would praise the Lord. He said, "I will praise." He says in verse 1, he says, "I will show forth." In verse 2, he says, "I will sing." All the things you need to do, you know, you sing when you're happy, right? I remember one time I was in a service and there was this girl. I probably had been away in college, and my buddy and I were sitting down about the third or fourth row back, and this girl got up and I went to Liberty. So we were easygoing guys. You know, we loved the Lord and we had a little more liberty, I guess, in our spirit. And we would go out and we'd go to the store and we'd just talk loud about our faith and sharing the Lord or whatever. And, you know, it was kind of very it was fluid for us. But she went to Bob Jones University. So she was like up to sing a song, and she was dressed perfectly. I mean, every hair in place, had her hands held like this, you know, and she's singing. And she sang, "His eye is on the sparrow." Now, if you know anything about this song, the tempo in this song goes really differently when you get to the chorus. "Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come?" and all this. And then it goes, "I sing because..." And we just busted loose laughing. We just did not see that tempo change coming. Now listen, you and I need to have a heart that's ready and willing and eager to laugh. Just not in the middle of a service, because you can't stop once you do that. Because once it goes sideways, you just can't stop, because you know you're not supposed to. But my point is that we need to be happy in our hearts. The song says, I sing because I'm happy. You can sing to become happy. Sometimes you're not happy. You sing, you'll find some happiness, right? You can find that right song. But sometimes you sing because you're happy. If you're not happy in the Lord, then you need to go back and figure out why. It's not for nothing. You know, it's like the dash lights on your car. You know, those dash lights, red light. You know, the one you put black tape over so you're not looking at it anymore. Those are called idiot lights because that's the basic thing. You know, you don't get a gauge to know whether it's charging or whether the oil's low. You've got an idiot light. If it's on, stop. Okay? And for you and me, if we're not happy in some measure, we should go back and figure out why. Because God would have us be happy. We are His poster children that He sends out messages to the world that this thing works. This thing really works. God is good. And you know, you can't have a good story without a good ending. And we've got it all. We've got a good story and we've got a good ending. Amen? And there's coming a clash of the kingdoms. He says, I'm just going to praise God. He says, I'm going to praise Him for His marvelous works. Now, when you think about His marvelous works, I want you to understand that there's a lot of them, aren't there? There's His work of creation, right? His work of creation. Have you thought about that recently? About a week ago, there was a huge storm, right? Many of you saw the huge, beautiful rainbow that God put in the sky. How many of you saw that? I had people texting me the pictures. They were in awe. That is God's creation. But even that, think about this, there's God's redemption. All right? What about that? I mean, He did a great work in salvation. He actually talks about rejoicing in His salvation down in the next stanza. But the salvation of the Lord, what an amazing... What about His ascension? Man, He ascended on high. He was seated at the right hand of the Father until He makes His enemies His footstool, right? It's going to be a good day. And then we also have His subjugation. And part of that's here. The clash of the kingdoms, the subjugation of this earth is on the agenda. And you and I are the winners. We're going to get to stand right there with Him. You know, when Obama or when Trump would sign some legislation, they'd have all those people standing behind them. I saw a video clip of Donald Trump doing some speech somewhere, and there were these girls who were probably 20 years old. They're all texting behind him, and they're smiling, they're waving at somebody. You can't hear him. This is distracting. What are you doing? Pay attention to the man. You're on the camera. Listen, you and I are going to be sitting right behind the Lord, if you will, in some sense. We're going to be right up close and personal like that. When it happens. When it happens. Not if. We're going to be there. And it's going to be a good day. So he's rejoicing now. Do you remember when Jehoshaphat was overwhelmed? Jehoshaphat prays. God comes back with an answer. I know you're overwhelmed. He said, you just stand back, Jehoshaphat. You're not even going to have to fight against this great company. Well, Jehoshaphat says, you know what? God told me we don't have to even raise a sword. He says, everybody, grab a trumpet. And everybody got a trumpet. And he says, when that battle starts, God's going to do something. I don't know what it is. But when that battle starts, we're going to blow our trumpets and we're going to sing these words. Praise ye the Lord, for His mercy endures forever and ever. And they did that. The battle was afoot. They never had to raise a sword. And the men of Israel marched right down in the valley as those people were killing each other. And they were singing praise the Lord for His what? His mercy endures forever and ever. Guys, listen. We need to sing ahead of time. We need to prepare our trumpets now. Because God said something really cool is going to happen. David is praising God here. He says, I will praise Thee. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.